You are listening to the Gerwick Report Podcast.
The podcast that tells it like it is.
With Steve Gerwick.
Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Frank D.
Fabulous. Frankie Frankster D. It is Thursday, July the 28th, 2016. I am Steve Gerwick of Gerwick.net. www.gerwick.net. All your pro wrestling news since 1997, and welcome to a very special edition of the Gerwick Report podcast. We'll welcome back the heat magnet himself, Vince Russo. But real quickly, before we get to Vince, let me tag in my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
Hey, what's going on, Steve? How you doing, man?
Got a very interesting show today because when he's here, he's a very polarizing character.
Definitely, and also check out some polarizing content right now at youtube.com/GerwickNet. Just added up clips from Gerwick Report Podcast number 141 with future WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long. So check it out right now, youtube.com/GerwickNet. Like our channel, subscribe. Definitely appreciate all the support.
And definitely today we welcome back to the podcast his third time on the GRP. He is a former WWF, WCW, and TNA writer. He is an author. He's also a podcaster of the brand on Podcast One. And he's also the mastermind of russosbrand.com. Today we welcome back Vince Russo.
How you doing, gentlemen? I don't know, Steve, I don't know why you got to start up front already with the heat magnet gimmick, but that's okay, bro. I'll embrace the heat magnet. I have no issues with that.
Today you have a new project you can tell us about as well.
Yeah, we'll get to that. I want to feel any questions you or any of your listeners might have, and we'll get to that. We'll talk about that later on. Something I wanted to share out there with wrestling fans that I think they'll really find interesting.
You know, the obvious question I got for you, Vince, is going to happen right now, going back to what happened this past Monday night on Monday Night Raw. Finn Balor got the win over Roman Reigns in the main event. He is now going to wrestle Seth Rollins at SummerSlam for the Universal Championship, and you were not a very happy man as it relates to that. I mean, you kind of went on kind of like a little mini tirade about, you know, the booking. You said that pretty much you were done with the product. What's going on with this?
Well, see, Frank, with all due respect, I didn't say any of that. Never said I was done with the product. Never said I was not going to watch the product. I never said any of that, Frank. That stuff never came from my lips. And when you talk about upset, I was not upset. I was not upset at all. I don't care what they do. I mean, they're going to do whatever they want to do. It doesn't affect me one way or another. I've got my show on Podcast One every day, whether their show is good or bad. So it doesn't upset me. It disappoints me. Disappointing is a good word to use, but I was not upset. I did not go on a tirade. I was calm, cool, and collected when I made my statement. And what the statement was, Frank, was exactly this, because, you know, the little ants in the IWC ant colony, of course, took my words and twisted them around every which way from Sunday to make it Vince Russo hates Finn Balor. That's what it turned into. This is what my comment was. My comment was simply, with what they did on Monday, with, in my opinion, with Finn Balor, a guy the size of Finn Balor, beating in the same night, pinning in the same night, a Rusev and later on Roman Reigns in the same night. Two guys that are almost twice the size of him. My comment was, the internet wrestling community won. For casual wrestling fans such as myself, this is exactly what I said. Wrestling the way we knew it is now officially dead. That was my comment. That's exactly what I said. I say the same thing today, representing the millions and millions and millions of casual wrestling fans who no longer watch Monday Night Raw. My comment was, wrestling the way we knew it is officially over. That was my comment. And as always, you know, they take that comment and they run with that comment, and that ran into, oh, you hate Finn Balor and F you and you killed Owen Hart. No, bro, I basically said wrestling the way we knew it is officially over.
Do you really honestly think, though, that a, you know, multimedia conglomerate like the WWE is actually listening to the internet wrestling community at this point?
Oh, no, Frank, no doubt. No doubt. And that's the part that shocks me, because having worked there for 5 years and having been as connected to Vince McMahon as I was, I never in a million years thought I'd see the day, because it was the same bullcrap back then. I remember Dave Meltzer saying that This Is Your Life Rock was the worst thing he had ever seen, and at the time he swore off to ever watching wrestling again. To this day, that stands as the highest rated segment in the history of the WWE. But my point is, they were chirping back then. They were saying the same exact things back then. But our mentality was, internet wrestling marks, you're going to watch the show whether it's good or it's bad. It doesn't matter. As long as wrestling is in the title, we already have that audience. The goal is to go out and get the casual television viewers. That's how we were going to grow our fan base. And that's why, you know, you got the numbers, you know, between Nitro and Raw to over 10 million people, because casual television viewers and casual wrestling fans were watching. Well, all those people have now gone away, and the only audience they have left is that hardcore audience of between 3 to 3.5 million people every single week, and they clearly are catering to that audience and are no longer going after the masses. And quite frankly, in my opinion, I believe that that's because they don't know how. And I don't know if they ever knew how. Me and Ed Ferrara, we knew how to do that, because Ed was a television writer before, and I was a fan. So I knew what fans were looking for. Ed Ferrara knew how to write television. So the combination of those two things, we had the numbers we had at the time. But they don't know how to do that. And it clearly is being written and aimed for people that they already have. And like I said, that doesn't upset me. If they want to leave money on the table and not bring in a new audience, I don't care. That doesn't make me mad. I think it's stupid business. I think it's ridiculous, but I could care less. If they want to leave money on the table, if they don't want to grow their audience on Monday night, and if they want to let people who are already watching the show dictate direction to them, knock yourselves out. That doesn't affect me one way or another.
What demographic were you guys trying to reach when you were doing a writing in WCW? And I bring up one point here, in when you put the WCW championship on David Arquette.
Everybody. Bro, the David Arquette story was a publicity stunt. And it was a publicity stunt that was a success, because the next morning we were on the cover of USA Today. If Diamond Dallas Page would have pinned Jeff Jarrett that night, wrestling would not have been on the cover of USA Today. So in my mind, it was a huge publicity stunt, and we probably got the most publicity possible out of it. From there, let me carry on, because here's the problem with the internet wrestling community freaking morons. They think wrestling is real, and they don't understand it's a business, and there is a business side to it. So to them, oh, Vince Russo put the belt on an actor. Well, let me, from a rational, intelligent point of view, let me walk you through. Not, and I'm not being sarcastic to you, Frank. I'm when I get like this, I'm talking to these a-holes on the internet wrestling community that have been hounding me for 25 years. Not you. I want you to understand that. Let me walk you through the mindset and exactly how this happened. Okay. First of all, the idea wasn't even on the table. The idea wasn't even a thought in my head. The idea was pitched to me after we already went over the match, and either Paige or Jeff were going over. I don't remember which one. I don't even remember who was the champion. I know one of them was. One of those two guys were going over. After the meeting, Tony Schiavone comes up to me. Vince, I want to run something by you. I said, what is it, Tony? Because that's how I am. I take answers and talk to everybody. Tony gave me the old, what if David Arquette wins the WCW title? Now let me remind you to, God knows how many years Tony Schiavone was working for WCW. Tony Schiavone presented that idea to me. When he presented that idea to me, I had never even considered that. That was never even a thought in my mind. And that's what made it so appealing to me. And I looked at him and I said, holy crap, Tony, if I didn't even think about that, I said, nobody would even think that that's humanly possible. But I said, but Tony, let's look at the beauty of this. Eric Bischoff is in that match. Eric Bischoff is not a wrestler. The belt was on the line. Whoever got the pinfall was going to be the champion. So you have the opportunity for David Arquette, for Eric Bischoff to slip on a banana peel and have David Arquette beat him? We're not going to beat Diamond Dallas Page with David Arquette. We're not going to beat Jeff Jarrett with David Arquette. But Eric Bischoff is in the match. So now I'm looking at, I would have never even thought about that. Now I'm looking at, man, this could be phenomenal publicity. Putting a wrestling belt on an actor, this wasn't supposed to happen. This has never happened before, to my knowledge. This could really work in my favor. So now let's fast forward to the publicity part. We do the deal. I'll never forget it, bro. I woke up the next morning in my pajama pants and a T-shirt just to get the free copy of USA Today. I'm wiping sleep from my eyes. I can barely see where I'm walking. And there, boom, on the front cover, David Arquette wins the WCW world title. But let's take it one step further. David Arquette is married to Courtney Cox at the time. David Arquette brings the belt to the movie lot where Courtney Cox is working on a movie with Kurt Russell and Kevin Costner, who was the hottest actor on the planet at the time. Kevin Costner, Courtney Cox, and Kurt Russell cut a promo with the WCW title free of charge. Did not cost WCW a penny. So do you understand, when I look back 20 years later, or however long it was, it accomplished exactly what we wanted it to accomplish. David Arquette did not beat a wrestler to win the title. He slipped on a banana peel, pinned Eric Bischoff to win the title. We got the exact publicity we were looking for. But again, here's the beauty of it, Frank. 15 years later, 16 years later, people are still talking about it. That, to me, is a success.
I tend to agree. I mean, it's the things that people remember that live forever. So I agree with you. I don't necessarily agree with putting the belt on him, but you know what? I was the one in charge at the time, so that's the whole point. But let me ask you this question, because there's somebody else out there that thinks that you bankrupted a billionaire's company, that you bankrupted WCW, that you pretty much put him out of business. And that guy is one Jim Cornette, who has some very unflattering things to say about you recently. And I just want to get your take on that. I mean, what's the deal here with Jim Cornette? What's the beef? Let's hear your side of the story, because we've heard what Cornette has to say. What do you have to say about it?
There's no story here anymore, you know, bro. When you know, he's a guy that's been talking behind my back for 17 years, has never said anything to me face-to-face, man-to-man, when he had the opportunity to confront me when we worked at TNA together after the WWE. Never, ever said anything to me, to my face. It's been 17 years of talking behind my back because, quite frankly, I was chosen for spots twice over him. Vince McMahon chose me over Jim Cornette, and then I was chosen to be the head writer at TNA after the situation went down with Jeff and Karen, and Jim Cornette was sent home. So because I replaced the man twice, which were not my decisions, which were decisions made by Vince McMahon and Dixie Carter, that has triggered 17 years of death threats, hate to my family, the numerous ways which he's going to kill me, of course, all of which never saying a single thing to my face. I decided to stay out of it for the past 17 years because I am not going to engage somebody that is irrational, that you cannot have a civilized conversation with. I've become part of his folklore. I've become part of his shtick. I've become part of his comedy routine because that's all it is, until about a couple of weeks ago when I had enough and I basically said, if you have something to say to me and you're a man, say it to my face. I'm tired of you talking behind my back when I'm not saying a single word about you. But every week you find something to talk about regarding a Vince Russo. I said, so Jim, if you're a man, let's put an end to this once and for all. Let's you and I get together. Let's get a fair moderator who has all the facts. Let's have a grown adult conversation in front of cameras. Let's sell this on the internet pay-per-view service. Charge $10 a pop, whatever it is. Every single penny made from this debate that everybody wants to see gets donated to the Cauliflower Alley Club. Retired wrestlers that could desperately use the money. I have nothing to hide. I've never had a fear of defending myself when it comes to you. I know what the facts are. I have no problem meeting you face to face. Let's take this situation and turn it into a positive and raise some money for people that really need it, okay? Well, Jim Cornette's answer to that was, the only way I will ever meet you face-to-face is alone in a room with no television cameras. So as far as I'm concerned, war over. War over. The East beats the South. When one man says, I am tired of you talking behind my back for 17 years. Meet me face to face. Whatever you have to say to me as a man, address me to my face. When that individual backs out of that, game over. I have nothing to hide in my history with Jim Cornette. I did absolutely nothing wrong. I was chosen over him because of the way I presented myself and because of the way he presented himself. It was a combination of the two. But when one man calls out another and says, you have a problem with me, address it to my face, and that man flat out refuses to, there's no place else to go with it. So, you know, so where does Jim Cornette go from there? This is exactly where he goes from there. Next week, new rant on Vince Russo. It's over. It's over. Like I said, that offer will always be on the table. Whenever he wants to grow a nutsack and say the things he's been saying about me behind my back to my face, let me know. I'm there. I said I'd be there. I have no problem with it. I have no issue with it. But, you know, like I said, if he's not going to address that and he's never going to have that face-to-face encounter, game over. So he can go on and on and on now all that he wants. The fact of the matter is he doesn't have a set of balls. He showed that to the entire world. You could put whatever spin you want on it. When one man calls another man out and that other man does not accept, well, you're hiding something. That's all there is to it. There's nothing more to it than that. So as far as I'm concerned, game over.
Seriously, this guy is crazy. I mean, he's talking about different ways of killing you, running you over. He dreams of murdering you.
Because I'd like nothing better. I would get the biggest raging hard-on in the world if I took a baseball bat and caved your skull in where your brain splattered farther than a goddamn hand grenade blowing up in the middle of a Jell-O factory, you...
I don't know. He says in his video, in his rants, that he's not responsible for his actions. He loses control, which to me is you're always responsible for your actions. If you can't control your actions, you probably need some sort of professional help.
I have these blackouts where I'm not responsible for what I fucking do because I don't know what I'm fucking doing because I've got an anger management issue.
I don't know, Vince. I know your kids are grown, but have you ever considered maybe a restraining order against this guy? This guy is obviously threatening you physically. Have you ever thought about taking legal action against the guy?
You don't know, Steve, how many people tell me to, because, bro, people listen to these things, and, you know, when he gets into the killing and to this and to that, they contact me, because, like, they're literally worried about it. And you don't know how many people have told me to go down that road, and, you know, it's like, you know what, bro, I do hope for resolution. I mean, I always do. That's what I try to do with the charity. That's what I try to do with Cauliflower Alley. I literally said to myself, there's no way he could turn this down. I mean, there literally are former wrestlers out there that can't walk, like that can't get out of bed. I mean, we know the story of Kamala, you know, and his freaking, what happened to him and living in a basement with his legs cut off. There are people that need the money. So in my mind, I'm saying to myself, there's no way he can turn down helping, you know, people he grew up watching. But he did. But my point is, I'm always looking for resolution. I'm always looking for peace. If I went that one step, there's no hope for resolution anymore. I mean, once police are involved, once attorneys are involved, once restraining orders are involved, well, now you're beyond the point of resolution. So you know what, bro? One day this guy may show up someplace with a freaking gun and shoot me square in the head and kill me, because that's how it worked up. The wrestling business has got him. Like, literally, I mean, bro, we're talking about the wrestling business here. We're talking about my wrestling philosophy differing from his. We're talking about, you know, an employer choosing one employee over another. These are the simplistic things that we're talking about. So if one day, you know, Jim Cornette really is crazy and winds up killing me, well, then, you know, so be it. At least I would have known. I tried everything in my power to be an example, to try to get peace out of the situation, but quite frankly, I failed. But like I said, once if I ever took it to that next level, I know it goes beyond resolution, and call me nuts, but I still hope that one day happens.
Well, I've never fantasized about killing anybody. I've never dreamed of killing anybody. I mean, the guy really does need some help. I mean, that's just off the deep end.
I mean, the guy said, Steve, he said he would get the greatest hard-on if he could bash Vince Russo's, just, you know, take a blunt object and cave his fucking skull in. That's what he said. That's some out there kind of shit, man.
I mean, and like I said, Frank, can you, like, over what, bro? Like, can you imagine? Bro, listen, if somebody, God forbid, raped my wife, raped my daughter, you know, killed somebody in my family, bro, I understand those feelings. I'm sure, you know, Ronald Goldman, you know, had many thoughts about what he would do to O.J. Simpson. I mean, I totally get that. Bro, you're talking about wrestling. And not only that, bro, you're talking about a guy, me, that has never said anything about him. Like, I was going to say I could almost understand it if I'm feeding the fire. Even if I was feeding the fire, I wouldn't understand that. But the fact of the matter is, I don't say anything. I don't go on my show and cut personal Jim Cornette rants. I never have, and I never will. But to have those kind of thoughts over stuff that happened in the wrestling business, that's why, bro, it's either one of two things. Either he honestly is a mental patient, and he does have the ability to kill me, whether it's a gun, whether I'm in a parking lot and he runs me over with a car, as he's talked about. I don't know about the baseball bat scenario, because I mean, he would have to hit me from behind, because I don't think if I saw him coming, I'm going to take his baseball bat to the head. But the fact of the matter is, he literally is either that mental and there really is a problem, or it's just comedy. It's routine. It's, you know, I'm going to sell, you know, the Vince Russo Most Wanted Man t-shirts. Well, whatever it is, it's one of the two. I would like to think that he's seen enough, that he's doing it for attention, and he's doing it as part of his shtick. That's what I would like to believe.
I don't know what more you can do from your perspective. You've called the guy out, willing to do a charity event, a charity debate. I mean, you just recently caught him in a lie with, what, the Canary Gate. I guess you're publicizing there on your website, where you brought up that Jim Cornette wore a yellow jacket on television. He denied it, and then the picture surfaced. So the thing is, with him, he just never admits he's wrong about anything, ever.
Yeah, he keeps and also, like, he keeps bringing up guys. This is why I have no problem meeting him face-to-face. I guess when the Conan lawsuit happened with TNA, a bunch of emails became public, and one of those emails was, as head of creative, I wrote an email to Dixie Carter based on feedback from somebody that I knew, where they were saying that we were sending mixed messages, like we had some really cool stuff on the show, but then the show felt very Southern in other parts. And the guy basically said, bro, like, what are you? Like, are you cutting edge, you know, with UFC and Joe and Angle and, you know, the LAX? Or are you a 70s Southern promotion with Jim Cornette and with Jeff Jarrett? To some extent, you're sending out mixed messages. So I wrote an email to Dixie. And listen, I encourage anybody to read that. This is what I mean. I've not done anything I wouldn't do now. I did not write anything or say anything I regret. The email is out there. You can find it anywhere. In the email, I am clearly talking about characters on the show. That's where the Jim Cornette yellow canary sports jacket comes up. Because I think I wrote in the Dixie, it's 2006, 2008, whatever it was. You know, bro, this guy's going on a television show wearing a yellow canary sports jacket. I'm clearly talking about the characters. Now, you've got to understand, at the time, Jim Cornette was an agent. Jim Cornette's job at TNA was he was being paid to be an agent. His salary wasn't based on being a character on the show. His job was he was an agent behind the scenes. In that email, I'm not talking about the job Jim Cornette is doing. I'm not telling Dixie Carter, fire Jim Cornette. I'm talking about characters on the show. We are sending out a mixed message. We need to figure out who we are. Well, Jim Cornette took that, and like I said, it's out there for anybody to read with a normal brain. Jim Cornette took that as Vince Russo going behind my back to get me fired. And he went on and on about that. Like I said, bro, any rational human being could read it and see I was talking about characters. I never talked about Jim Cornette's job performance. I never said, Dixie, you need to fire Jim Cornette. From my creative position, I was talking about the creative of the make-believe show. And that is out there for anybody to read, which was part of the debate. If you had a third party reading that, the third party would say, well, Jim, with all due respect, never once did he talk about your job as an agent. Never once did he talk about, Dixie, you need to fire Jim Cornette. Never once did he even hint to Jim Cornette, you know, no longer being a part of TNA. He's talking about LAX. He's talking about Kurt Angle. He's talking about Samoa Joe. He's talking about characters on a television show. Any rational person would look at it this way. But, you know, I would have to assume this is part of the reason why he never wants to meet face-to-face and head up, because, you know, somebody else, a normal-thinking person, would sit there and say, well, Jim, that's not really what he was saying here.
So basically, what you're saying is that the whole thing with Jim Cornette pretty much is all pretty much an act now.
Frank, let me ask you this.
Sure.
Like I said, outside of a family, outside of a family member being killed, or outside of, God forbid, a family member being raped or violated, take all those things off the board. Frank, are you capable of hating another human being as strongly as he hates me for 17 years? Frank, it's either shtick or mentally he does have a problem. Like, bro, his own friend, Kenny Boland, Kenny grew up with him. I've become friends with Kenny. And his own childhood friend has been telling him, bro, like, are you crazy? I've interviewed Vince. I've had Vince on my show. Vince and I have become friends. Vince has never said a bad word about you. Like, don't you think it's time to stop? And he gets hot at Kenny Bowen. So it's like, you know, bro, like I said, he either is a madman and the headlines, it'll be all over the news one day that, you know, oh my God, this wrestling guy killed this other wrestling guy. Either that will happen, or, like I said, bro, it's just part of his routine and it's just part of his shtick.
What's your opinion of Booty O cereal, and is Vince Russo going to buy a box?
No. Well, I mean, I've been nothing against the WWE, bro. I wouldn't buy a box because I've been on such a stringent diet, like, since the beginning of the year. And literally, I've lost over 40 pounds, and I've stayed on it. So, like, that's the reason why I wouldn't buy it. I just think, man, this is where my words get mixed, okay? And that's why sometimes I'm so hesitant to say anything, okay? In my opinion, just the whole New Day thing has gotten really, really old. And here's why it's gotten really old. It has nothing to do with New Day. these are three very colorful, charismatic, over-the-top entertainers and performers, okay? What it has to do with is the material they're giving on a weekly basis. Bro, you could have the greatest performers on your wrestling show. You could have the Austins. You could have the Rocks. You could have the Shawn Michaels. You could have the greatest roster and the greatest sports entertainers in the world. If you don't give them creative to match their talents on a weekly basis, sooner or later the act is going to get old. And to me, the failure of creative to give New Day new material, different material, to keep it fresh and exciting on a weekly basis, what happens is, bro, the guys go out there and on their own they try to make it happen, but the fact of the matter is they need the help of the writers. They can't do it on their own every week. They're wrestlers, man. They ain't writers. So that's the one thing I see with New Day. It's like, you know, it was funny and it was entertaining, but it's almost like very repetitive now, which has nothing to do with them, but it's the failure of the creative team to give them fresh material. Every week, Ed Ferrara and myself, we had to come up with something creatively that matched the talent level of Stone Cold Steve Austin. That was the challenge. Austin is great. Austin is a superstar. Whatever you give him, he's going to the best of his capability, knock out of the ballpark. But as a writer, your responsibility is you've got to give him creative that's just as good as his talents. That's the challenge. And there are so many acts that have so much potential at the WWE, but it has fallen short for that exact reason.
What's your opinion of Dean Ambrose as a current WWE champion?
Bro, it's the same thing I just said. You know, bro, you can't label a guy, you know, crazy and insane because, you know, he's wide-eyed and sticks out his tongue. You know, he's not crazy because some of the death-defying moves, because now everybody's doing death-defying moves. So if you want to paint this insane character that will go to any lengths, you have to write that. And again, it's the same thing. Dean Ambrose has all the potential in the world. Without strong writers behind him creating situations for him every week, that's going to get him more over and more over and more over and more over on a weekly basis, the guy is just going to remain stagnant. And as I said, this is where my words get minced. This is where my words got minced with Finn Balor. I am not talking about Dean Ambrose here. He doesn't write the show. They give him a script, and he goes out and does what they tell him to do. So guys like Ambrose, guys like Bray Wyatt, guys like Dolph Ziggler, guys like Cesaro, they have all the potential in the world. If the creative writing team doesn't give them material that's going to assist them, they're going to stay in the slots that they're in, and they're not going to move up. They're going to move down because the act's going to get old. And that's not on them. That's on creative.
How do you think WWE should handle the Brock Lesnar situation? Obviously, he failed a drug test with his MMA career. He's coming back to face Randy Orton at SummerSlam. If Vince Russo was in charge of booking Brock Lesnar from here on out, how would you book him?
Well, I mean, I would have nothing to do with that decision if I was booking there. I mean, that would be 100% Vince McMahon, and either he would say Brock's with us or he's not. I would not one way or another get involved in that. Like that. I'm a writer, man. I don't get involved in suspending Brock Lesnar, just like I don't get involved in putting a company out of business. I am a writer. But, you know, like when I just look at that on the surface, not knowing the facts, I do know that the WWE is a publicly traded company now, and I know that there are shareholders that they have to answer to. And I just don't know how you explain, well, the guy, a guy failed the drug test over here, but over here we're going to let him compete. I don't know how you explain that. That's all I see on the surface. But, you know, obviously, bro, I don't know enough about it to really give an educated opinion.
Well, actually, the WWE came out with a statement saying that since Brock Lesnar is a part-time performer, part-time performers don't get tested. That's what they're saying.
Wow.
Yeah, well, like I said, bro, you know, again, I just think of the shareholders, and I just think of the board of directors, and I just think of somebody in that room saying, wait a minute, he failed the drug test over here, and, like, what does part-time or full-time really have to do with it? If he's going to compete on our show now and you just suspended Roman Reigns, you suspended Roman Reigns because he's a full-timer, not a part-timer? So, like, I don't, you know, that's just that just sounds kabuki-ish to me.
Let me ask you this, because we had this question yesterday on our podcast, and obviously you said up front, you know, you were a wrestling fan. Somebody asked us, what would be the dream match for next year's WrestleMania? And I just, in general, I mean, I'm emailed the days growing up, Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan, and all these dream matches that we used to dream of when we were kids. And now, today, is there any dream matches left? Is there anything they could do that could really hype up a WrestleMania match for next year? I guess, essentially, Vince, is there any dream matches left out there to be had?
God, no, I don't think there is right now, man. You know, I mean, God, if you just looked at every wrestler, like, with the major companies right now, I mean, God, man, what two would you want to pair together to be a dream match? I mean, probably if I thought about it for a while, I could think of something. But when you throw that out there and, you know, you got to think on your feet, God, bro, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. Well, Vince, tell us this project you're currently involved in, the business for the business.
The business of the business. I'm excited about this because, as I said, first and foremost, I'm a wrestling fan. And I think other wrestling fans, you know, would be interested in this. And I'll be honest with you, I think you'd be interested in this whether you're a internet wrestling fan or whether you're a casual wrestling fan, because basically it's reality TV. And we've seen reality TV in every business imaginable, you know, whether it's a hospital, whether it's a prison, you know, whether it's real estate. You've seen every reality TV show. We've seen reality TV in professional sports, you know, with HBO and their football show. Everything's been done, but you've never seen it in professional wrestling. And the answer is simple, because the companies themselves would never do it, or they would never allow anybody else to do it, because in their minds of living in the wrestling bubble, I guess they still think that there's some order of kayfabe in wrestling, and, like, not everybody on the planet understands wrestling is a work and wrestling is a business. But what we really want to know is, how does this business work? How do you do it? What goes on behind the scenes? And this is something I've been wanting to do this, like, since I went to WCW. I've been wanting to do this literally since 1999. But I never had the vehicle. But now that I'm living here in Colorado, I'm working with a promotion, and we're just about to change our name to, you know, the Rocky Mountain Pro. And basically, you know, we have a wrestling show that I write and produce on the internet, you know, every single week. You know, right now it's NRW Wrestling. That's what it is right now, but the name's going to be changed. So I write and produce this wrestling show. The beauty of the wrestling show is it's 45 minutes. Like, you're in and out. You know, so it's not 3 hour. It's not a marathon. It's 45 minutes. So what I do is, if you go to Vince Russo's The Brand, the YouTube channel, all this is absolutely free. You can go on my channel every Thursday, and you can see the new episode of the show. It's called Charged. So now the episode of the show airs, And now, you know, either a couple of weeks later, 10 days later, a week later, whatever it is, but after the show airs, we have a completely other show on the YouTube channel called The Business of the Business. And this is more or less a reality show of the cameras following me around, you know, in the back, and you are seeing firsthand what goes into putting a wrestling show together. You know, you're seeing the business end of it. You're seeing the training end of it. You're seeing the creative end of it. You're really seeing the interworkings of a wrestling company and how it's done, because very few people get to see that. So, you know, we're doing that now. Like I said, it's on my YouTube channel, Vince Russo, the brand. It's free. I'm not doing this to make any money. I'm doing this because I think there's a need for this, and I think this is what wrestling fans want to see. And, you know, we've done three episodes. We're working on a fourth one right now. And, I mean, I really encourage everybody to check it out. I think you'll enjoy it.
Well, I'm intrigued, but I'm definitely going to check it out, and we'll definitely post it at Gerwick.net. I think fans will be interested in it. It's something different, Vince. I mean, like you said, we have 3 hours of Raw. We have 2 hours of SmackDown. They want you to order the WWE Network and order, watch the pay-per-view. So it's something different, and I'm all for it. I'm going to be definitely checking this out. And by the way, do you have the WWE Network? Are you watching it all the time?
I just watch the pay-per-views because, you know, I mean, I have to, you know, I mean, I got to report on them, but that's all I watch on there is the pay-per-views. And, bro, like, people, like, get, like, here's another thing I get all the time, Steve, and, like, I want to make this perfectly clear. After I watch a Raw show, I do a review, and, you know, if it's good, I'll say it's good. If it's bad, I'll say it's bad. Unfortunately, from a creative point of view, it's never a talent point of view. From a creative point of view, I think there are a lot of bad things. I feel that there are a lot of things that fall short. So I will give my critique of what I think felt short and why I thought it felt short. You know, and sometimes, bro, I'll say what I would have done, but I don't like doing that a lot because, I honestly, like, I feel like that's just giving WWE, you know, free advice, and I think my advice is worth something. So, like, I'm hesitant to say, well, I would do this and I would do that, but I wind up doing that anyway. But the fact of the matter is that a lot of the times I'm critical. And here's what I get all the time, because like I said, bro, people can't separate business from wrestling. That's the problem. What I get all the time is, Vince, if you don't enjoy the show, just don't watch it. And what I try to explain to those people is, I don't enjoy the show. If it wasn't my job, I wouldn't be watching it. I get paid to watch the show. It is my job. It is my business. It is what I do. But if I was not getting paid to watch this show, I would not watch it. And that's the funny thing, bro, because it's like people cannot separate the business of wrestling from the fake wrestling show that they see on TV every Monday night. And that blows my mind, bro. That blows my mind because wrestling is a business like everything else. If I was a beat writer for the Indianapolis Colts, and the Indianapolis Colts were 0-14, and I was like, man, this team sucks, I'd still have to report on the Indianapolis Colts. That's my job. That's what they're paying me for. I'm sure I'm not happy because they're 0-14. I'm sure I'm not putting them over because they're 0-14. But at the end of the day, that's my job. That's what I get paid to do. And my God, it is so hard for people to understand that.
I relate to that because sometimes it's a struggle to turn on Raw or turn on SmackDown. You know, we've kind of lowered our standards, I think. And one of the things that we do here is I'll ask Frank, who will watch a pay-per-view, and he'll say, well, you know, I got my $9.99's worth. And I'm thinking, that is where we are today. We watch a show and we decide if it's worth the $9.99 for the monthly subscription. And now you're going to have, you know, in the future, two pay-per-views a month on the network. So, I mean, it's like sometimes I feel like you have to lower your standards to really like.
You know, Steve, that's what it is. And I catch myself doing this like every single week. Bro, we have so lowered the bar and we so badly want something to be good that all of a sudden, like, even if it's mediocre, it's the best thing we ever saw. And I catch myself saying, doing that all the time because I catch myself wanting to put something over. So I look at everything and I'm like, okay, well, that was okay. Then I'll put that over and then I'll go back and read it and I'll be like, bro, like, that was just okay. Like, you're literally putting something over just for the sake of putting something over. And that's the thing, bro. The bar has been so lowered that, I mean, if it's a 5 on a scale of 10, it's the greatest thing we ever saw.
Yeah, I remember those days, those WWF pay-per-views or WCW pay-per-views, when you paid full price, $29.95 or whatever it was back in the day, and you're like, that was a great show, and now it's just another show. That's what it feels like most weeks.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
well, Vince, exactly. As we wrap with you, go ahead and plug your podcast and your other ventures you got currently going on.
Yeah, my main thing is I am on Podcast One Monday through Friday. We have a different themed show every single day. And as a matter of fact, tomorrow on Podcast One will be my second part of my interview with Raven, which I think is fantastic. I think Raven's a genius. I always thought that. But it's every day, Monday through Friday, on Podcast One. And then basically you can see those shows on video on the Realm Network. I think it's like 75 cents a week. You could see everything we do on video. There's also original content. And you could get all that information by just going to russosbrand.com. And, Steve, I'm going to send you, when we hang up here, I'm going to send you the links to the first three shows of the business of the business. And, like, I want to make it clear, this is free. It's on YouTube. It's available to anybody. But as a wrestling fan, I'm excited about you seeing this because I think this is something people have been wanting to see for a long time.
Well, I'll definitely check it out. We'll definitely post it at girlwick.net. And we thank you. And if you ever want to come back, Vince, you're always welcome here on the Girlwick Report podcast.
Yeah, no, I'll take you up on that. And in the meantime, I'm going to bring you guys on my show as well. You guys have never done my show, and I'd love to have you on my show. This way I could grill Frank about all the pole matches he's booked over his life.
Well, Frank remembers things I don't remember, so he's a good one to grill on those kind of things. So,
and I'm only, you know, I'm only kidding you, Frank.
Oh yeah, I know, Vince. I know.
All right, Vince. Thank you very much.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. I really, really appreciate it, man.
For all of your pro wrestling news, check out Gerwick.net, your number one source for wrestling news since 1997.
The Gerwick Report podcast is available via Gerwick.net. Download today on iTunes. Also can be streamed on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio.